up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Another episode this week. We were with you on Monday recapping the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to waste any time today because we have the great Kate Constable on our show today to talk a little college basketball and NBA, talk about her methods. She is on a red-hot heater right now, white-hot, 7-1 the last 8 picks in college basketball with her gig over there at BetQL. So excited to get her on the program, give her thoughts about handicapping college basketball successfully. And we'll talk about a few NBA games as well, which she also handicaps. Used to be the host over there on the BetUS NBA show. My name is Chris R. Farley, at Farley Betts across social media. Check me out at FarleyBets.com for free picks every day. Send me a DM if you're interested in my premium picks. We're 6-3 in NBA picks this week. Starting to win a lot of units over there as the NBA starts making more sense and the NFL season is over. I can solely focus on the association. You can also catch me at the 33rd team talking football all off season, evaluating these teams from a betting perspective. And you can catch me on the BetUS NBA show Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time, giving out my NBA picks for free. But again, if you want all my NBA picks, reach out to me, DM me on Instagram or Twitter at Farley Betts. With that, let's get to this phenomenal show with Kate Constable. All right, and now I welcome a very special guest. Of course, she's been a Laying the Points before, but I feel like it's been quite a long time. One of the hottest handicappers in the college basketball industry. No, you perverts. I'm not just talking about the appearance side of things. I'm talking about her record in college basketball lately because, Kate Constable, you are on a heater. Kate Constable, welcome back to Laying the Points.
I was going to say, wow, very forward here on Laying the Points. This is aggressive, especially we're recording this early in the morning. But
aggressive opening.
Yeah. I appreciate you having me back, Chris. It's been a while, and it's always fun to join you here.
Absolutely. And let's talk about that, though. What are you, 7-1?
7-1. I lost last night for the first time in 7 days. Just one daily best bet, obviously. There were some others, but for the one best bet I give out each day, I finally lost yesterday. So 7-1. But 7-1 is still pretty good, right?
Yeah, 7-1 is very good. And of course, I mean, I should have a bone to pick with you because I found out that you took my free pick last night. And of course, I take the free pick of yours that you said there was 2 injured guys on TCU, and that's probably what caused the difference, right?
Yeah, I learned an important lesson last night, and don't, for your best bet of the day, the one single one you give out, make sure you know that everyone's in the lineup before you do that. Those guys were supposed to play. Everything I was reading was trending towards them playing. 2 very important players on TCU's team, Mike Miles and Eddie Lampkin. They were out of the lineup, and that was kind of the difference in that game. So what can you do? But, yeah, thank you for the free pick yesterday because your NBA pick won. So I appreciate the money.
It did. We're 2-0, I believe, this week in free NBA picks at FarleyBets.com, which you can check out anytime over there for free. But I should have included as part of your intro, Kate, we worked together at on the BetUS NBA show in the past. We've worked together at the 33rd team, but now recently – let's talk about you a little bit and just your recent success, because you are not only an analyst at BetQL, but you've also been a host over there as well, right?
Yeah, I have been. I host the Saturday college basketball show from 3 to 7, BetQLU in the Action. So that's been really fun, just kind of diving into college basketball a little bit more deep. And then I work on the editorial side, so write some picks every single morning. You can get those at BetQL.com, NBA. College basketball and some futures. And then I fill in and host. So hosting You Better You Bet all week this week and some morning show stuff next week. It's been fun just kind of having a hand in all sorts of different things over at BetQL. It's been a great company, good people to work with.
Yeah, so You Better You Bet, is that like their flagship program?
It is. It's their afternoon show, one of the top betting podcast shows in the nation. Ken Barkley and Nick Costas are the hosts, but I'm filling in for them this week because they're on a little break. So that's been fun. I mean, we talk about basically everything, NFL, college football, college basketball, NBA, little golf this week with the Genesis Open. So all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We talk about, well, we, you know, met what, 2 years ago now? No, a year ago. A year ago on the BetUS NBA show. Well,
yeah,
just
a little over a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that you fit that in there. One of the most watched shows in the country, because it's just so cool to see you, you know, sore, right? Like we all kind of started. I don't know if you, well, you didn't get your start of the BetUS NBA show. You had been doing things. I know you have experience, you know, hosting a media in Chicago. But really, that was like one of my first sports betting analyst gigs. And I know we talk about all the time, like, especially working from home these days, right? Like, we don't really have colleagues mm-hmm. in a traditional sense anymore. You get to go to work, it sounds like, on Saturdays, which is really cool. But, you know, I consider you one of my colleagues. Like, maybe 30 years from now, you know, you, me, maybe an Alex Christensen, God bless him, maybe a Ryan Reynolds. We can all just have, like, a, you know, in-person colleague, like, sports better community meetup, you know. But it's tough, right? You're in Chicago. You know, a lot of us are on the East Coast, a lot of guys and gals on the West Coast, but it's been fun, like, you know, constructing this community together mm-hmm. and just kind of watching each other, like in all the different things that we're doing. So congratulations on your success over there at BetQL. I wish that I could watch more things, but I don't know if you've experienced that, but when you're in the industry and talking sports all the time, like, do you have time to watch anything else or like ingest anything?
No, it's so hard. I mean, I have my TV on in the morning when I'm kind of poking around on the internet, and I watch some SportsCenter, ESPN, whatever is on those shows, maybe some NFL Network. But in terms of like actually watching other sports handicappers content on Twitter or whatever sites that they're on, it's hard. I mean, you're working basically all day long, even though you're only giving out a couple picks. Like, there's a lot that goes into it all, so you don't really have a ton of time to digest everyone's content. Obviously, I listen to Laying the Points. I make that a priority, right? Duh. So throw that in the headphones every once in a while when I'm at the gym, something like that. But yeah, it is tough. But to your point, I mean, we are colleagues. Just because we are across the country, have yet to meet in person. That's the funny part about it, is like, I feel like I know you so well. We talk all the time, friends beyond just colleagues, but we've never met in person. I've never met some of the people that I host on BetQL with in person. Alex and Josh from last year on BetUS, never met them. It's kind of a crazy world that we're in, that you can feel like you're colleagues and so close to people, yet never met in person.
I know, yeah, because like that's an aspect too, coming from, you know, the military. As soon as I became an adult, like that was my first job experience, right? Like, and I mean, the military didn't always treat me splendidly. You know, there's a lot of challenges when you're in the military, but the community, the camaraderie, you know, it's second to none. And I think we have a little bit of that in the gambling industry, but we also mm-hmm. have, you know, there's just an oversaturation, right? There's just, yeah, the content is coming from every which side. We just saw that stat. What do you think about that stat? 92.3 billion in handle in the U.S. in 2022 in sports betting. So I'm thinking this is here to stay. But you know, before our audience, right? Like, not all content is created equally. And mm-hmm. and you know, what you guys do over there at BetQL is a respected site, a respected source. Not all are out, you know, built the yeah. same out there on the gambling Twitter and the sports betting industry. So we at least try to keep it real, Kay Constable, but that, you know, it's not always the case, I would say. But tell me about your record in college basketball since the start of the new calendar year.
Yeah, so we are about 27-15 after our little heater this week. So up about 16 units, which is pretty good. We've had some big wins in that span. Which is looking great. I'll take that right now. This is probably the best stretch I've been on since I started handicapping. And then it's tough because I give out three picks a day for NBA and college basketball. I don't always take every single one of them myself because that's sometimes a lot. But, you know, I have to give out some my insight on all these games. So that's my record in college basketball over the last month and a half, which is not bad.
Yeah, when you echo the words college and then you say something like 27-15, that reminds me of a Kyle Hunter record. I mean, he's one of the most yeah. well-respected handicappers in our industry, kills it every year in college football, and that is one hell of a record, Kate. So you keep that up, and I want to ask a little bit about that, because, you know, more than just talking about free picks and the sports that mm-hmm. we bet on, I also want to make laying the points about the way that we approach handicapping and the way that you know, what are our methodologies, right? Because we're all built a little different. Yesterday on the BetUS NBA show, I hated that slate. You know, I mean, what, a 10-game slate?
I went 0-3 in my picks in NBA yesterday. So that was a tough one.
Yeah, I just kind of – I felt like I saw that coming, but I haven't been that great at that this season, right? Like, I'll see a slate that I hate. 10 games, though, like, certainly you can find some edge somewhere, right? Something you start searching for, maybe you talk yourself into it. But it's never – I mean, if you have a feeling right from the get-go about every single matchup, it's probably better to proceed cautiously. But then on the other end, Ski, you know, on the BetUS NBA show, he loved yesterday. Yeah, he said he had 10 plays, right?
What? So
It just speaks to the difference in like perspective and methods and how we approach handicapping. So let me ask you this. What has been, I guess, the biggest breakthrough for you in college basketball? Like, is there something that you're doing differently this season? Not that you haven't had success before. You certainly have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were right there with the best of them on the BetUS NBA show your first year handicapping the NBA. So I don't forget that, Kate. But has something changed in your methodology? Do you think that you just like have like a better routine?
I think college is different for me than NBA, and I've kind of tried to hone in on like a single conference or two within college basketball. So I've loved the Big 12 this year just because they've been one of the more fun conferences to watch. So I've kind of started paying a little bit closer attention to those teams and, you know, taking advantage of their college students. So it's a little bit different how they approach games than in the NBA, and road games are tough. And you know, you have a Saturday game where Baylor wins big at home. Their college kids are probably going out to turn around for a Monday game at West Virginia. That's going to be tough. So kind of taking those little things into account a little bit more than I would maybe in the NBA, just because those are professionals. And then also trusting lines. Usually you look at a kind of a odd line and think, like last night, for example, Alabama and Tennessee. Tennessee was favored by 3. 2 of their best players were out, and they're playing the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd think Alabama would have the edge there, right? Well, no. That line was right on. I mean, Tennessee won by, I can't remember the final score, but it was almost like 10. I mean, they won handedly. So it's finding those little lines that you think look kind of fishy. And usually in the NBA, I would say that line is wrong. I'm going to take the other side. But more often than not, I'm finding that in college basketball, if a line is fishy or off or doesn't seem right to you, it's likely the right side, which is interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting, right? And maybe that speaks to just the plethora of options you have in college basketball, right? Mm-hmm. I've been betting, when I do bet college basketball, of course, I'm principally NBA. But this season, for whatever reason, I've decided to almost exclusively bet like Patriot League Conference, Horizon Conference, just like, you know, not the top tier of college basketball conferences. I will notice, right? Like I start to get a sense of who these teams are and which teams should have an advantage. And yet sometimes the line comes out. And it's telling me that I'm completely wrong with the way that I'm thinking. And then that's what turns out to be the case. Of course, that's not a fail-safe method necessarily, but no. I think it does speak to the fact that like in a sport like the NBA, right, we have 3 games in the NBA tonight, right? Mm-hmm. So handicappers, sharps are going to be attacking those lines heavily. Whereas college basketball, a matchup between American University, which I went to grad school at American University, I can tell you it's not a premier basketball program, you know, versus like Bucknell. It's not getting as much attention, right? But you handicap the Big 12 and some other bigger conferences, but it still seems like maybe there's not as much handle on those conferences. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. And I probably should. I mean, the way to go is targeting some of those mid-majors because those lines are kind of where you can exploit the books a little bit more. I just didn't – I should have started the season that way, and I probably would have a great handle on those teams now. But – and it's different in college because one single player can change the game where, you know, if Giannis rests for the Bucks, yeah, that's a big blow. But you've got Jrue Holiday, you've got Chris Middleton. All of a sudden someone else steps up. Like, they're NBA players. They're all professionals. They're all very good where – we saw last night with TCU, Mike Miles, their best player, he's out. They've lost 4-5 of their last 6 games with him out. Like one player changes things a lot more drastically than they do in the NBA, which also, I don't know if that makes it harder or easier just to kind of know when to play on teams, when to fade teams, but it's just a different aspect than handicapping NBA.
Yeah, so give us a glimpse of what your handicapping routine looks like. And I know I saw a video of you recently on TikTok. You're like, up at 5 a.m. Getting ready. I'm like, oh, is this Kate Constable's new routine? That's impressive. Because no, I'm certainly not doing that.
That is only when I host the morning show. It starts at 5. You got to be up at like 3:30 to like look at what happened last night, take a look at the slate, and then obviously hair and makeup. You can't go on air looking like a bomb rolling out of bed.
What time do you go to bed on? Like if you have to do that, what time do you go to bed?
I try and be lights out by 7 because I need my sleep. I can't function on little sleep. I wish I was one of those people that could run on like 4 or 5 hours. No, I need like a full 7-8 hours. So
yeah,
but that's hard because then you miss everything that happened the night before.
Yeah, no, I think you're a lot like my wife. And I think in that same video, I think you showed it too. Like I need one cup of coffee a day. And if I drink any more than one coffee, like I'm buzzing, you know, I'm probably going to be up until 12, 1 at night, you know, I'm just going to have like insane energy all day. I think in your video, you were like, and we're going for cup number 3. And it's like, what, like 8 a.m.? Like, what are you?
Chris, I've already had my one coffee today. This is a new development as of yesterday because I've been just exhausted. We're going Red Bull this morning as well.
We're double fisting with coffee and Red Bull. Wow.
Yep. I should probably like mix in a water here, make sure my heart doesn't explode, but.
You've actually made me feel better about things like that because, I mean, we're still young, right? Like we're still capable. We're in our 30s. Come on. We can push it a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do this in the future though. But man, yeah, that, I mean, we're all just built different. And I know, you know, my wife, she like requires sleep, which of course, everybody requires sleep, but she requires like, I thought like 10 hours a night. And then, you know, she gets pregnant and
that's it's like 14. Happening.
Oh no. Now it's like 5 or 6 because what happens is she'll, you know, she'll fall asleep for like 3 hours. Then the baby just starts going nuts. So she'll wake up for 2 hours and she'll fall back asleep. So it's like, you know, disparate. But anyway, you're grinding over there. So let me ask you this. I think I started to ask you and then I just interrupted myself and started blabbing. So tell me just a little bit about your routine. Like what's a day in the life of handicapping for Kate Constable? Like what happens first? What do you look at first, et cetera?
Yeah. I get up and just look at what happened last night with games just to see if I could like find any trends from maybe situations that teams were in from the night before. Obviously look at the slate ahead, go online, do a little research on, you know, some of their stats and where they sit. I use KenPom a lot. I use Haslametrics a lot. Those two sites are great in terms of kind of helping predict what, I mean, KenPom's very sharp. More often than not, they're correct. But also just to see how their numbers, their efficiency numbers, who gets to the free throw line. I use a lot of free throw line percentages and offensive rebounding percentages a lot in my handicapping. If a team can do those two things really well, I typically give them a point or two. And also for the total, because free throws, obviously, you know, clock stopped helps put some points on the board. So those are a couple things that I look at. Also schedule spots. The Saturday slate is usually obviously the biggest of the day, most exciting or of the week. But it's those Monday games after the Saturday that you can kind of find an edge and fade teams based on travel. And then, yeah, that's kind of it. I always like to write out all my picks too.
Yeah.
I know you're a big writer, just to get my thoughts on paper and kind of bullet point what I have marked for each team in terms of advantages or disadvantages. And that kind of helps me decide which way I want to lean on a certain line. But it's just kind of sniffing out those funky ones and paying attention to the teams that I feel like I have a really good handle on.
Yeah, a few things you said there is really interesting. So first of all, the offensive rebounds and the free throw shooting, that checks out to me because college basketball, right? These are still kids. They're not as efficient, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why we don't see 180 points every single night with these teams. So they're not quite as skilled, right, as the pros. But you get offensive rebounds, you do well at the free throw line, especially at end of games, right? You're probably going to be able to close distance and cover more lines.
Yeah.
So that's the methodology there, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I wouldn't say there's necessarily key numbers. I don't know how you feel about key numbers in college basketball or even NBA, but like a four is typically something that I'll try and just stay away from because of free throws down the stretch and teams fouling and things like that. So 3.5, 4, 4.5. Although I say that, and I played TCU plus four yesterday, so maybe I'm not following my method quite all that well.
You mean the bet I took?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think too much about key numbers in the NBA in particular. I think a bit more in terms of possessions, right? So if a team is favored by 5.5, you're talking a good 2 to 3 possession lead, right? And that's just kind of how I quantify it, which even a line like -5.5, that's probably a team that controlled most of that game, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's a difference between a 4 and a 5.5 or a 3.5 and a 4.5. So, you know, I look at things like that, but I don't spend too much time on it. And we could talk about a game that qualifies for that tonight, because I would love to get your thoughts on a few NBA games tonight.
Yeah.
We only have three, right? It's about to be the All-Star break. But yeah, I mean, that sounds like a solid. Well, let me ask you this about your process, because I see a lot of handicappers out there, and, you know, to each their own, but there's a lot of handicappers who are like, I handicapped for 6 hours last night and I'm ready to go with my four picks. Now, in college basketball, I can see where that qualifies. I mean, there's an endless amount of games you can usually look at. Mm-hmm. In a pro sport, if it's taking you 6 hours, in my opinion, right? Like I know who the Bulls are right now.
Yeah.
The Bulls lost 5 games in a row. You know, the Bulls are surviving by defense. Not much has changed, but you remarked about the fact that you look at the previous day's results, the previous game's results. Tell me if you agree with this. Obviously, we have notions of who these teams are over long periods of time, but I do think that recency is more important in basketball, because there's so many games, you need to know who that team is right now, right? So there needs to be some research into that. But at the same time, if we're spending 6 hours, like, do you trust anything that you learned from the day before? You know, because like 6 hours a day feels like, you know, nobody's going to become a successful handicapper if that's what it takes.
Yeah. So last year when we started the BetUS show, I probably spent 6 hours a day handicapping, trying to learn the teams and figure it out. It was my first year. I was new to it. I didn't quite trust my process. So I was just basically trying to be an encyclopedic on these teams. You don't need to do that. I can look at a game, and I'm not always right, so I'm not saying my NBA record is all that great, but I can look at the slate tonight and say, I think this is right. I think this is wrong. This right. number is too high. And when I look at previous stats from teams, I go back 5 games. Rarely do I even go back 10 games. Like, yeah. I filter everything on NBA.com for looking at their stats in the last 5, because that's where the team is right now. And especially this season with so many players in and out of the lineup all the time and resting, like, you got to just look at where they are at the moment and how they're playing. And momentum is a big thing in the NBA too. Is a team playing really well at the moment versus, you know, the little down streak that they had 6, 7 games prior. So I'm totally with you. I would go crazy if I spent 6 hours a day handicapping. Like, our tops for making a couple picks in the NBA, and that's otherwise I just overthink things and my mind goes in circles. And you can make a case for every single side of every line. Like, I mean, you could like the Bulls tonight. I'm not going to play in the Bulls. I'm going to play on the Bucks. But I could make a case for the Bulls because the Bulls are so erratic that maybe this is the time the Bulls put it together and have a great game, because they've been playing terrible lately. They just blew a lead to the Pacers last night. So is tonight the game that they turn it around and decide they want to start playing hard and, you know, knocking things down on the offensive end? Like, no, probably not. I think the right side is Milwaukee tonight. But you can, you know, if you give yourself that much time, you're just going to go crazy.
Yeah. Well, I that's a great segue to talk about these NBA games. But before we do that, I just want to mention, I mean, I love what you said, and I think we talked about this before on previous podcasts, how at a certain point, right, and that makes sense. Your first year handicapping NBA, you're given, you know, you're putting a lot of time into it. You were also the host, right?
So have to. So I had to know a little bit more. And,
yeah. You know, you have to, like, lob us stuff, right? But once you get a notion of who these teams are, whether you develop power ratings or not, or just, you know, however you quantify where the number should be, there should be some type of instinct every day, right? Yeah. And more often than not, my instincts of where I think the line should be and where it actually is, they're more often right than they are wrong, right? Because especially when you start doing this for a long time, questioning yourself, I think, can become more of a detriment. And you mentioned overanalyzing. I absolutely agree about that. I mean, I can't imagine how much you can overanalyze in college basketball with over 340 teams. But, you know, and I think this is going to be a conversation that I'm going to want to have with you and our fellow colleagues as we continue in the sports betting industry is I think, you know, sports bettors, analysts, handicappers, I would put it up against some of the busiest jobs in our, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to say like in the country, you know, you got like, you know, doctors and stuff, but the grind is real, Kate, right? Yeah. I mean, it is a real grind. It's every single day, especially if it's basketball. So from that side of it too, the mental health aspect of it, just to be able to manage the, you know, the workload, right? Mm-hmm. It's necessary to not overanalyze things.
Yeah, I've had to learn to just kind of turn it off sometimes. Like I give myself 6 p.m. rolls around and you have to go do something else for a little while. Because otherwise, 6 p.m. games are certain. You can sit on the couch and watch the teams that you just bet on and overanalyze what they're doing on the court for the next game. So the mental health part, you do have to stop and give yourself a break every once in a while.
Yeah. And I've sat on the couch a little too much this winter, but that's another point, Kate. So let's get into one or two of these games. I know I'm pushing through this podcast pretty quick because I got a lot going on today. And I know you always do with BetQL as well. So let's talk about them Bulls, those Chicago Bulls, because you were just mentioning them. DeMar DeRozan is a little banged up. He, you know, he's day to day, as the injury report seems to always say about every other player in the NBA. Yeah. But it does look like his hip is bothering him a little more. And five of his last eight games, I believe the last eight or nine, he's averaging under 42% from the floor. That's not like DeMar DeRozan, one of the better sharpshooters in the NBA. And I think we've seen the result of that the past five games. Like they need him to beat teams. Bucks are rolling right now, 11 straight games. I think you can feel what I'm thinking about this game. I don't love the line and the Bucks are on the road and the way that the NBA doesn't make sense, Kate, this would be the spot where all of a sudden the Bulls just show out and they beat the Bucks for the third straight time this season. I don't think it's going to happen, but let's play devil's advocate. Do you see a feisty Chicago team tonight?
I mean, I do a little bit just because of the way they lost yesterday, blowing a big lead.
A 24-point lead, I think they had.
Yeah. I bet the Pacers live at plus 12.5. I just kind of watched them slowly come back. And I thought, you know what? I kind of do know my Chicago Bulls a little well. And that's just, you know, they can't hold on to a lead. So I don't think they win this game tonight. I think the Bucks cover, especially, I mean, I hadn't gone back to look, but hearing you say that Chicago has won both of the two games against Milwaukee this season, like Giannis is a player that you can kind of trust. He takes those things personally. His effort level night in and night out is always there. So if he's on the floor, I trust the Bucks to get it done despite being on the road. Chicago, I could see them mailing this one in and being like, we got to get to the All-Star break. This is enough. Enough's enough. We're going to reset. Everyone go take a couple of days off. We'll come back. They've had issues in the locker room lately with Zach LaVine and Billy Donovan. So Chicago just kind of needs to be done. I hope that's the way that they approach this game tonight because I've already got the Bucks.
I love it. Zach wanted to be traded, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
We give him a max and he wants out.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, you know, it's just for team chemistry, obviously all these players are, you know, hoping for their futures to go the best possible. And, you know, the Bulls are 6 games under 500 still, right? Yeah. Like they've been streaking, playing better, a lot better on defense. Mm-hmm. But then it just seems like if one thing goes wrong for that team,
they instantly stumble.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if that's a coaching thing. I don't know how you feel about Billy Donovan, but it doesn't seem to be a lot of consistency there with the Chicago Bulls. So I'm on your side. I mean, Giannis averaging 37 points per game and 13 rebounds along that 11-game winning streak. Just absolutely insane. If that Giannis shows up tonight, I'll probably play on his PAR props. And I already have a bet on the Bucks as well. So here's to hoping the zany NBA doesn't show up again. Let's get a quick one-minute evaluation of another game. Suns and Clippers. I want to play in the Clippers tonight, Kate, because I just think they're the better team at this juncture, right? Kevin Durant's not going to be out there, but I know the Suns' defense has been sensational. Totals around 223.5, and the Suns are a one-point favorite against this loaded Clippers unit. Is that the line telling us something? Do you want to bet on this game? And do you think that your previous residents of Phoenix, Arizona, your previous team that you were hanging out with, do they have a shot tonight against the Clippers? I mean, they're favored.
Yeah, I mean, I was dating Devin Booker last year in Phoenix, so I feel like I know the team really well.
you were in there, really close to the team.
No, I was not dating Devin Booker. That would be Kendall Jenner. I do get confused for her quite some time. Yeah,
that makes sense. That checks out.
Right. I like the Clippers tonight as well. I thought their first game back at home after the Kevin Durant trade was against the Kings the other night. I played on the Suns. I thought they were going to come out and be hot in that game, kind of set the tone and show KD, you know, this is the team that you're coming into. Their defense has been great. But I think this is a game, especially against Kawhi and Paul George, where you have two very good offensive and defensive players, that they're going to miss Mikal Bridges on the defensive end. They're going to miss Cam Johnson a little bit tonight. So I would play on the Clippers. I have not personally bet that yet, but I likely will be doing that as soon as we get off here. But that would be my play for tonight. I think their depth will be questioned a little bit this evening. And the Suns have already beat the Clippers twice this season. So Clippers kind of have their number here, especially, you know, Western Conference opponents that might matter down the stretch.
Yeah, well, I'm on the same page as you tonight. I already bet on the Clippers. So there's a free pick from both of us for our listeners today. Kate, I'm sorry that I have to rush you out of here. You know, when I have you on the pod, it just always seems like we could talk forever about the industry and sports, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the hottest handicappers in the industry right now, because of her record. Stop freaking other stuff, everybody. Her record's phenomenal. Kate, thanks so much for coming on the show. Obviously, we're going to have you back soon, if you're willing.
Of course. Anytime, Chris. I appreciate you having me.
See ya.